Welcome to Modern Day Abigails. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So let's listen to God's Word, where everyday lives transform and where we can become the women God created us to be. So moms, you may think I have a boring job. You might think I should be in the corporate life. You might think that it doesn't matter, but you as a mom matters very, very much because you have no idea how much you have effect on your children, whether you can see it or not. You might be today thinking all I do is wipe butts, wipe noses, and stop arguments, but you don't understand that in the future, that child's going to have to make decisions. And I don't know, at that moment when I decided I was going to kill myself, like I said, it was the worst plan ever. But I executed the plan.
And you failed.
Yeah, failed. Well, because I heard the Lord say, what about your mom?
Yeah,
she'd be so hurt. Oh, yeah, you're right. I can't do it. That moment is where it changed because I thought about my mom who was there. She wasn't just somebody, you know, who she was a stay-at-home mom until we got to our older years. It made all the difference. So stay-at-home moms, moms who were, invest in your children. You don't see it today, but I promise you in the future, it will make a difference in your child's life.
Certainly will. Certainly will.
Yes.
And let them know they're loved. They need.
Yes.
Girls need to know they're loved. Because if they're not feeling loved from their home life and their parents, they're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And that wasn't me. My parents felt, I felt loved by my parents. Mine was just, I have been so bullied by girls that I thought, you know, if I just have a boyfriend, maybe they'd leave me alone.
Yeah.
And Satan's like, deal.
Yeah. Check it.
Yeah. Check. Got this. Instead of just being content and waiting on the Lord to provide somebody. And so that's what got me in trouble.
Sure.
And then I didn't know what to do because I hadn't been prepared for that. My mom admitted later on, she goes, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't prepare you for any of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, mom, it's not like your mom actually prepared you either because you met a great guy and, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you met a great guy. I don't know what to say. So anyway, okay. So I keep telling y'all Solomon, Songs of Solomon chapter 6. So let's get there. Verse 1, the daughters of Jerusalem. These nice, fabulous chicks.
So wait, listen, we've been talking, chit-chatting so long that probably part 1 doesn't even include chapter 6.
We're sorry.
Verse 1. Anyway, so if you're listening to part 2 and we're just now starting, you know, hey, that's okay. Slime's involved. We got slime.
We just want to make sure, like I said, with some of it, I'm hoping somebody heard that and needed to hear that.
But we got slime. We got chocolate.
No. I hope y'all need to hear that because sometimes, you know what? We're letting you know that we're qualified to do this. Not qualified professionally. Not qualified as we're, you know.
Zero schooling.
We're not. That's what I mean. What I'm meaning is, we've been through there. We've done this. We've changed because of Jesus. And we just want to pass along what we've learned. That's all.
There isn't a single thing you can tell us that is going to shock us. It just
might shock
isn't.
Me. I'm sorry.
You think so? Oh, gosh.
Maybe me.
Not me. Nothing.
You know, let me see. Let me think. I had somebody at work one time tell me something that I'm like, okay. I hadn't heard that one before, but all right. Yeah. All right. You know, okay, so maybe I'm not as shocked. But anyway, we do want you to understand, because I tell them, because I used to take classes every once in a while when I was going to school, and I'd get a teacher, and I'd be like, how'd they get this job? Do they even know what they're talking about? They don't even know what they're talking about. So we want you to know that we do understand.
Yep, we get it.
So feel free to send
we've
an email.
It.
We're like, so we're not professionals in that we, like, you know, we'll share what we've learned. And if we don't know it, we will tell you, you need to go find some professional counseling.
Sure. I'm all for counseling.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's great. If you get the right counselor, I think it's great.
So, I had a Christian counselor after John and I split. And
huge
difference in how I handled things.
Yeah. That's good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
All right. We went to marriage counseling. My ex-husband and I went to marriage counseling once. That didn't go well. I knew what was going to happen. I knew he would. He was charming.
Sure.
He was. And I knew somehow in the end it was going to be my fault. And guess what? In the end, it was my fault. I wanted to date other people. I never said that. I never indicated it. Then she told me, well, you're depressed and you need medication.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got through telling me I want to date other people. You think I'm depressed? That never even entered my mind.
Right.
I just wanted him to be nice. But sure. I couldn't say that because he was right there in the room. He was being charming.
Of course.
Anyway, so find the right counselor.
Absolutely.
And she should have said, hey, can I talk to y'all separately?
Yeah. I went through several counselors before I found the one. When I was in couples counseling, we never had the right one because John was the same way.
Yeah.
But on my own, the Lord led me to the right one when Amen. I was just counseling by myself.
Good.
And it helped tremendously.
All right. Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah. And I'm hoping we can help the ladies here and just strengthen and encourage. All right. We're going to try again.
Okay. Go for it.
Songs of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1. The daughters of Jerusalem. And I don't know how to read this. I'm going to read it two different ways. Where's your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? Or where's your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you?
Oh, okay.
Two different tones.
Sure.
And I'll be honest. The commentaries all said the same thing. We don't know which tone to use.
Oh.
We don't know if it's a tone of, hey, we agree with you, or a very sarcastic tone. But I'm going to show you what I think the Lord showed me. Because in Songs of Solomon 5:9, it said the daughters of Jerusalem is, what is your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? And you remember the rest of the Songs of Solomon, she talked about who her beloved was.
Yeah, well, they asked.
Yeah, they asked. And she started talking about it. So in my thought process is, in Songs of Solomon 5:9, they didn't see what she saw in her beloved, and she starts describing him. And now we see that they want to know more and find him too. I believe that after she described them, they're like, so where's he at? I'm now interested, you know, maybe that's how I perceived it, is that after she got done describing him, they were like, hey, we kind of want to know more about this. And so that's where I was looking about, well, how do we live our lives? You know, do we live in our life in such a way that people want to know this Jesus that we follow? Or are they kind of flippant like in 5:9? You know, now that I think that they desire to seek him with her. And we should be taking people to Jesus. If we love Jesus and believe what the Bible tells us, why would we hesitate? You know, I was going through the book of John with the kids on Wednesdays. And one of the things I noticed is Andrew. I don't think Andrew in the Bible is talking about enough. He's the quiet one. But what did he was the one that took his brother Peter to Jesus. I mean, if that's all he's known for is taking his brother to Jesus, hallelujah. Because he said, hey, we found the Messiah. And he took Peter to Jesus. And then, so we hear all about Peter, but Andrew's the one who introduced them. So if all we do is take people to Jesus, wouldn't that be good enough? Hey, let me introduce you to Jesus. And yeah. Then let Jesus handle it from there. Yeah. Hey, and let Jesus handle it from there. Yeah, I did. I had a conversation with the Lord one day. I'm like, I was so tired of being the seed planter. And he goes, yeah, nobody wants to be the seed planter.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
They all want to be the harvester.
Yeah. Okay. You're right, Lord. So now I'm perfectly happy being a seed planter. You know what? And to me, it's a lot, very freeing just to be the seed planter. There's no pressure.
Right.
There's no pressure like, oh my gosh, I failed. I did so. I'm wrong. No, yeah. You're just planting seeds, man. Go, girl.
I'm a seed planter. Yeah, I'm a seed planter.
Now, also, I was thinking also from this point of view, when we're married or you're getting engaged, I mean, you have an engagement ring. What do you do when you have your engagement ring?
Show it off.
Yeah, usually you show it off, right? You want everybody to look at me. I'm married. Mm-hmm. But most people, they have Jesus and they either they treat him like a genie. They only bring him out on special occasions. I guess I should say they treat him like he's fine china. They just bring him out on the special occasions.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas and Easter. And, or then you got some they'll bring out Jesus every second of the moment, but it ain't Jesus of the Bible. I'm not sure who he is, but he ain't the one of the Bible.
Or if something bad happens, then they're blaming him all of a sudden, even though they don't.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
In the same sentence, he doesn't exist, but.
But it's his fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody was telling me one day who doesn't believe it. I'm like, wait a minute. You can't blame a God you don't believe is good.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Pick one. You can't be both.
You either believe him or you don't.
Yeah. And then he never said that again.
Oh, I bet. And then if you do believe him, you have to believe that he created and that the sin entered this world. And then you have to look at, well, that's us.
Yeah.
It's us who did it.
Yeah.
Okay. So in verse 2, so now we're seeing, I want to say we're going to look at it from the point of view that these daughters of Jerusalem want to find him because because by the time she got through describing him, they're like, hey, I want that too. Have you ever described, what is something, I'm trying to think of, there's bound to be something we've described that somebody's wanted after we got through describing it.
This pink slime.
Okay, that's true too. You did tell me all about it. And next thing I know, I'm like, gosh, that's so cool.
You're like, I don't want it. Yeah. I'm like, so why ordered you one?
Advertising does it all the time, right?
Yeah.
That's what their goal is, to get you to want to go get it.
What is it? What is something that, maybe a yummy food?
Yeah, exactly. That happens all the time.
Food, yeah.
So I'm going to take it from the perspective that these women, these daughters of Jerusalem, they're now with her. They're watching her. They're following her because they're like, well, this is great. I want to be a part of this. So then it gets kind of, and ladies, if you're ever listening to us talk about this and you're like, I don't know about what you're talking about. Trust me, none of the commentaries all match. I barely use a commentary because none of them can match. It is one of those fun books to read, but every time you read it, you're going to grow. And this is how I explained it to a little girls the other day. In first grade, Jay, you want to help me here?
Yeah.
In first grade, what's 2 + 2?
4.
Okay. In third grade, what's 2 × 2?
4.
All right. Did 2 × 2 exist in first grade?
Yes.
But did you learn it yet?
No.
So the Bible's the same way. It's not that that information wasn't there. It's always been there. It's just that we're learning at the proper rate of speed for us.
And ladies, I want to note, I got that question right.
Yes. You are an accountant. I was hoping so.
I got that unexpected question right.
Since you're a bookkeeper, I was kind of hoping you would know 2 + 2.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay. Just making sure.
I do. Without my accounting program, I got this.
No Excel?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So now that's what I want to say, though, is so if you're like, hey, I don't know, we could all be at different levels and the Lord could be showing us different things, because this actually changed from the last time I read through it. So because this is where it gets fun.
Well, that's not the first chapter that's changed after.
No,
after
it's not. No,
chapter
no.
Chapter 2, you said the same thing. So
this one has 2. So this is because this is where it gets fun. Verse 2, 6:2. The Shulamite, my beloved, has gone to his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed his flock in the garden and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. And most people just look at, oh, hey, I am my beloved is mine. And that's where they stop. No, we got a garden
and
here.
And that's a song.
Yeah, it is. It is. Joshua Aaron.
Yep.
Did you seriously just do that? What you don't see is she keeps leaning into her microphone. She leans around her microphone and speaks and comes back to play with her slime and then goes back around.
No, I'm eating chocolate and I didn't want to smack, so I turned my mic away.
I didn't see you eating chocolate. That's even funnier. Oh, it is. She does have chocolate in her mouth, ladies.
I do.
Yes. And she did show it to me.
Yes. Well, you know, seeing is believing.
I know. I didn't realize that. I was thinking you're not going to play with your slime in front of the mic. Okay. All right, I get it now. She's eating chocolate. Sorry. I did not turn my head to eat my chocolate. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I'm smacking.
Okay.
And I just got hair in my slime. I'm pretty upset about it.
Verse 2.
Okay, go.
The Shulamite. Okay, so we already read that. So one of the things I looked at this, because at first you're like, oh, okay, he went to his garden. Bed of spices. What's he feeding his flock? The spices? Next to the lilies? What's going on here? So this is what I believe that the Lord was showing me, and I'll prove it with some additional scriptures. We talked about the wedding sequence before. It's not like nowadays. After the betrothal, after the bride price was paid, the groom would go and leave and prepare a place for his bride. He would make his home ready for his bride. And the father groom would tell the groom when it was ready to go to get her. That's where they commonly get the midnight cry. So if he's going to his garden with the bed of spices and he's feeding his flock, he's getting something ready, isn't he? And he's feeding his flocks among the lilies. If he's getting something ready, why is he getting something ready? Especially since we've been watching this relationship build. So I almost dropped my slime. Sorry. So Jesus. Oh, so what, this is what
tragic.
I believe in John 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Let not your hub. Try that again. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. and my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we, the believers who are in the bride of Christ, know he is not lost, but that the Father is preparing, but with the Father preparing a place for us. So that's why when I believe that when she talks about he's in his garden, this is that picture of Jesus leaving here on earth to go back to the heaven where the Father is so he could prepare a place for us. And because this talks also about to feed his flock. You know, God made promises to the Jewish people, right? Romans chapter 1, 16, to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. So we non-Jews are grafted in upon belief. And in John 4, 22, it tells us that salvation comes through the Jews. You see, Jesus is a Jew. Jesus is alive, and he's coming back to sit on the throne of David in the city of the great King Jerusalem. I actually saw that in the news the other day. Somebody said something about, because of the whole conflict with, is it Palestine? Is it Israel? And someone says, well, if Jesus was alive, you know, and he would have done this and that, and he probably would have been a hostage. And I'm like, one, Jesus. One, Jesus. Okay. Let's get a couple of things straight. One, Jesus is a Jew. Jesus is still alive. And he's coming back to sit on the throne of David, the city of the great King Jerusalem. So there, no.
And who do you think's going to hold him hostage?
Oh, I was thinking too when I read that.
Come
I'm like,
on. Okay.
Okay. I don't
give it a try. Yeah. Get back to me and how that worked out.
I know what they were getting at. They were trying to say that they were trying to talk about his Jewishness. But I'm sitting there thinking, but you forgot that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
What about his creatorness? Yeah, well,
I say you kind of forgot who, you don't understand who Jesus is.
Right.
And that's one of the ones, the part of this podcast that we are really wanting you to understand is who Jesus is and this relationship with him. So we're going to kind of break this down because the Book of Songs of Solomon is a relationship with Jesus and as we're the bride and he's the groom, but it's also his relationship with Israel. And not being Jewish, I don't see it as well as somebody who is Jewish, but I did see. So we see God's going to tell his people feeding his flock because he will restore Israel. And that's where I'm starting to work into this whole, we're going to see this restoration. Ezekiel 34:11-16. For thus saith the Lord God. Oh, this is the King James Version. It switched on me. Y'all have fun. Hold on, y'all. Hold on tight.
You can do it, Anna. You got this.
Hang on. Let me see. Stall. Do a stall, Joanna. While I find it in my actual paper Bible.
Stalling. Okay. What can we talk about? Well, one of the things we're going to do in the future, I'm going to talk about the future, is we're going to talk about the plagues. The plagues in our lives that exist today. So that's upcoming. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that's great. Joanna, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. What else? What else?
You know what? It helps.
Are
if
you almost there?
Yeah, I did. Okay. It helps if you find the table of contents. You know, they put those in those books on purpose. Of course, I got to glue my Bible back again, by the way.
Oh, my God. Well, that, you know what? Just get another one.
No. Okay. I got this one broken in.
And okay.
When Revelation appears in Genesis, that's when I replaced my Bible.
Oh, dear.
That happened once.
Gotcha.
I found Genesis in the back of Revelation. I thought, okay, that was when it was time to get another one. But that hasn't happened yet. This one is still all bound together. I just got to get it to its hardcover. And I am really stalling, y'all.
It is okay. A mess over there.
All right. So we're going to do this again. Ezekiel 34, starting at 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they have scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in the rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. So we saw that in when we're talking about this beloved in the garden and him was feeding his flock. The Lord's going to restore Israel. So this whole thing about Palestine, Israel, hostages, Hamas, Iran, all that fun stuff. Hey, the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea and all that fun stuff. I'm not worried because God's already told me that he's going to restore Israel back to where they're supposed to be. So I know that one, we're seeing that God's going to restore Israel. And if God can restore Israel, then the bride of Christ will be restored as well. Right?
Amen.
So another scripture about Israel that we can apply to us is the one that Lord showed me when he was healing my broken hearts. And I have a great family, but because of outside influences destroyed me. And that's what I was talking about earlier. But in Isaiah 43, he said, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. God wants to restore us if we will let him. Have you ever done gardening?
Well,
we're talking about the garden because the beloved's in the garden, right?
Yes.
Have you ever done gardening?
Yes. None of it lived, but I have done it.
Wait, you got landscaping done last year. Are you saying it's all dead? Well, winter
came. The freeze killed it.
Well, will it come back?
I don't know.
Oh.
Honestly, don't know. Oh, and I even covered them with plastic. And
this was the first year my aloe vera did very well. I didn't lose, you know, a whole bunch of it. I only lost a few things. But so let's look at this from the point of view of gardening. So because the beloved's in the garden, and let us picture Jesus in the garden, right? All right. So because we have that lovely couple in our church, one of these days I'm going to get her on this show. And they have a beautiful garden. I love going to their house. It's all pretty and it's gardening. And they got the butterflies all around and the bees all around. And but they do. In fact, he's taken off 2 days because they have to work in their garden to get it ready.
Yeah. And she makes things for the ladies in the church.
Oh, I know.
She's cool things.
Yeah.
So in their garden.
Yes. But they're weeding. They're putting down mulch. I forgot how much mulch he said they bought the other day. And they're cutting off what is dead and planting new stuff. And then there's the watering and the caring for all the plants. See, Jesus wants to come to us like a gardener. But we have to let him and not fight him. Because if you are his and you gave him your life, you will do what it takes to, as in 1 Philippians 1:6, being confident of the very thing that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to complete it. Whether how bad it hurts is up to you. Are we going to drag our feet, kicking, screaming, crying? Or are we going to say, okay, Lord, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
Well, and I don't know.
And I've been in both places.
Yeah. And me too. But I don't know the exact verse, but he does talk about how, you know, he's got to snip off the bad and prune off the bad. And that's not, that doesn't, I mean, it can apply to plants and stuff, but oh, what a perfect ball of slime.
Thank you.
Anyway, but it applies to our mess.
Yeah, it does.
He wants to
clean up our mess.
The mess and replace it. He's not going to leave us empty. He's going to replace them because when he takes out the mess, it leaves an empty space, and he fills that space with him, things of him.
Exactly.
All kinds of things of him. He's got all kinds of gifts to give us, and he replaces that. So let him do the pruning. Let him do the snipping.
It does hurt, and we do have to sometimes give up things. I think some of it is because we get so comfortable in where we are. We're scared of what's going to happen. We're scared of that change.
The unknown.
But that's where that relationship that we're watching here build, that's where that relationship starts changing and we become a new creation. So I took my bottle, my thing of slime, and it is now a pink snow thing with strawberry ice because I made a new creation.
Hold his head up. I want to take it. His head's fallen. You know, I mean, it's slime.
I know.
Okay, there we go.
Because the Lord teaches us that he likes to make a new creation. And that's what I got here. New little creation. That's kind of blubbering down.
Yeah, it's okay. We're having so much fun, girls. We just don't. I didn't expect the slime to be this much fun.
We may not should have brought it. We're sorry.
Oh, no. It's coming next time, too.
Okay. So he said he's going to begin a good work, and he's going to complete it until Jesus comes back for us. That means he's not going to stop until we're where we're supposed to be. But like I said, our growth is up to us. We have a relationship with Jesus, but that growth is up to whether we want to grow or not, or if we want to drag our feet or put up more walls. We have a decision. Now, we have been talking about this many times about doing more of a podcast about nutrition, because nutrition does play a lot into it. So I got exciting, happy news to say we are not going to do that because we have somebody who can do a better job than we can, right?
Right.
So
super excited.
My nutritionist, Dr. Amber, agreed that she will be on the show with us so that we can talk about that the physical and spiritual restoration and how nutrition for women's health, it plays an important role.
Thank you for letting us share our tools to become the women God created us to be. If we encourage you today, visit us at moderndayabigails.com. Remember, you are loved, cherished, and prayed over.